books I have to mention to you today on account of the week that's in it. The first is called Show Bands and All That Jazz, Memoirs of an Irish Drummer. It's written by Des Hopkins, who is a personal friend of mine. This is obviously about all our Time Warp people who lived right through the show band era. You will find it of interest. Ronan Collins writes the foreword, and he says it was a magical time for entertainment in Ireland. Hundreds of show bands crisscrossing the country, 5 and 6 nights a week, drawing crowds of hundreds and indeed thousands to the myriad of ballrooms and marquee dances dotted all over the country. I've had an interest in the history of the show band era for quite a few years now, but it's the old story, the more you know you don't know. And he writes a very nice foreword to the whole book of Des Hopkins. He's drummed with the best in the business and the worst in the business. And he has a lot of different kind of stories to tell. For example, here's where he first experienced the beginning of the end. Because the Cavern in Liverpool, the famed place of the Beatles, was, before the Beatles ever came along, a jazz club. Now, my memory of it was that it was a dirty, filthy, smelly little dump. And the average fire inspector who might have gone in there, who never did, but who might have gone in there, would have had a strong weakness and would have closed the place on the spot. It always seemed to smell, and is it mentioned that it always seemed to smell of onions for some reason, and sweat, and all of that sort of thing. And it was a jazz club. And the band which Des Hopkins was playing with at that time was called the Tippett Band, run by a fellow called Johnny Tippett. But anyway, they were due to play in this one night. And they had done this again and before on many occasions. And so they finished their first set. And then there was some crowd, they were told, a new crowd called the Beatles, coming along to play. The place was jammers, absolutely jam-packed, as it always was. And it was sort of run and owned by a fellow called Mac Fall, who must have made a tiny million out of the place. Anyway, packed to capacity. And the Tippett Band got very little reaction, which was unusual and definitely disappointing. Anyway, they packed up, and this crowd called the Beatles were going to play after them. And the boys were going over to across the road, where else, to the Grapes pub. And Johnny Tippett, our 27-year-old band leader, talked to the Beatles band leader, a fella by the name of John Lennon. And he warned John Lennon to be finished his set at 10 p.m. so that they, the jazz band, could pick up for their second set bang on time. So he said, remember now, we want to start again at 10 p.m. sharp. To which John Lennon replied, piss off, Grandad. And that was the beginning. That was the first inkling they got. Things are happening here that we don't know about. And the crowd, they realized, are not here for jazz anymore, even trad jazz anymore. They are here for these new guys. And that's the way it was. And so he played for lots and lots of bands down through the years, and he was always a great drummer and a driving drummer. And that story about the Cavern and the Beatles was really the beginning of the end of them. And then they said he set up an act. It was amazing, but a very popular cabaret venue was Pedigree Corner near Athy in County Kildare, and they used to do a cabaret act, and Arthur, who was in the cabaret act, was doing crazy ad lib and comical things on stage. And they devised a few acts. One involved Arthur standing on his head, and a punter was invited to hold a microphone to his mouth. While standing on his head, he sang My Boy Lollipop. If ever you've heard of a gripper of a speciality act, this must be it. Singing My Boy Lollipop upside down. Well, try it. It's not all that easy. You know what I mean? This was very popular, says Des, and grabbed the attention of the customers. But it wouldn't it? I mean, Jimmy played all the Shadows hits. The rest of them played Dixieland jazz, featuring Arthur on clarinet, and Jimmy changing to banjo. And then we played Irish jigs and reels and country music. And that made up the act. So they were sort of an all-round act, as it were, and this helped
to get them gigs. And they were playing in Mountjoy Jail at one stage. Well, they were invited to play for the inmates in Mountjoy Jail one time. And they were talking to a fella, an inmate, a guest of the nation at the time. And the fella was delighted with the chap. And when they asked him, you seem like a nice fella. Why precisely are you in here in Mountjoy? And he says, it's like this. We were doing a job in a pub. It's called the Limelight up on Thomas Street. And we got in through the window, no bother. And we stacked all the fags and whiskey bottles ready to put them in the car. But the temptation of seeing all the beer taps in front of us was too much for us. So we decided to have a couple of pints. And then we had a couple more pints. And then we had quite a few pints. And we must have got noisy in some way because a passing guard heard us. We got 15 months each. And that's the joy of playing for a band. You meet all sorts of people. Anyway, I saw Des with Paul Sweeney recently. And it's wonderful to see a musician playing with enthusiasm and energy and enjoyment. And the only other drummer I remember playing like that was Imelda May's drummer, whose name I don't have at the moment. But anyway, somebody was there, and you know by them that they would not be anywhere else on earth at that moment, but in that place doing what they do. A drummer who's bad is a sludge drummer, and it makes the rest of the band feel like they're hauling a 10-ton truck up a very deep. But a driving drummer, a guy who's really punching it out, is true. And Des is one of those. Anyway, that's the show bands and all that jazz. Memoirs of an Irish Drummer. It's a paperback written by Des Hopkins. So that's it. And in the week that's in it, and we lost the fifth Beatle, George Martin.